You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. So go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Pepsi made for football watching. And we are back here on another Purple Friday for this Baltimore Ravens squad. Kevin Ostreicher here with you. And unfortunately today, Matthew Stevens of Ravens Wire will not be joining us. Just a scheduling conflict. So it will just be me today, and you'll be able to hear my lovely voice. And today we have a ton to talk about. There's been so much that's been going on over this past week, and I will say it's been a lot better than last week, although there was another positive coronavirus test for this Baltimore Ravens team, much like there was last week, although the implications for Sunday aren't going to be as great as losing Marlon Humphrey. We'll talk about who that player was, if it has any implications at all on this Ravens team in the first segment. Also in the first segment, we'll be getting into a bit of injury news for this Baltimore team as well as for New England. And also talking about Lamar Jackson. It's been a controversial topic this week. Just Lamar Jackson in general has been a controversial topic this week, because we have the whole, well, the defenses are calling out our plays at the line and this, that, and the other. That got him a bit of backlash, and also got Greg Roman a bit of backlash too. But the new narrative with Lamar Jackson is, all right, which quarterback would you rather have, Lamar Jackson or X? And most people, for the most part, basically what I've seen is whoever it is, they're taking X. And it is just so disrespectful to what Lamar Jackson has done over the course of his career. And so I want to talk about just why he gets disrespected so much, and if it's fair to him, spoiler alert, it's not, and other stuff just relating to why it's been so tough for him to earn the respect he deserves over the course of his NFL career so far. Then in the second segment, we'll be getting into our Ravens at Patriots game preview. We'll talk about the Ravens offense going up against the Patriots defense. And then finally in the third segment, we'll flip the field and talk about the Ravens defense going up against the Patriots offense. So we'll jump right in here. But before we do that, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and where there's a podcast, we are there waiting for you Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens and my personal account, KatTrucker34. I post stats on there, analysis, and anything related to Ravens football that you might need, it's probably on my Twitter. So with all that being said, we're going to jump right in here and start off with coronavirus news for this Ravens team. Now, the big news of last week was Marlon Humphrey's coronavirus test that did turn up positive. He had to miss the game against Indianapolis. He's back. He was reinstated from the COVID list, and he will play in this game on Sunday night against the New England Patriots. But the Ravens yesterday reported they had received word that another one of their players had tested positive for the coronavirus. And before we get into who it was, I will say, and I've been saying it all along here, the NFL should have done a bubble. I don't know how they would have done it. It would have been very difficult. I know there's a lot more that goes into an NFL bubble, most likely, than an NBA bubble, just because there are so many more people and so much more personnel than there are in the entire NBA, which is a valid concern for why the NFL probably maybe steered away from that. But we've seen the Titans get decimated. We've seen everybody, almost every team, if not every team, get affected by this in some way, shape, or form. And it's playing around with people's health, which I don't think is the right way to do things. So, you know, it is what it is. The NFL, the players, they agreed on it and they're doing it. It's so far, they haven't had to cancel any games, which I think is one of the best case scenarios for this league. But still, it has been a controversial point all season as to whether they should cancel the week here or there. I still think they're going to have to. They're going to have to probably cancel a week, allow people to heal up, and ultimately that, I think, is a very realistic possibility. But for Baltimore, this second positive coronavirus test, it belongs to Iman Biggie Marshall. And now, Biggie Marshall, high hopes for him. I think a lot of people had high hopes for him in his second year coming out of USC, a fourth-round pick. And ultimately, unfortunately, and probably disappointingly so for most of the Ravens fan base and the Ravens, I was disappointed, I know, tore up his knee in the offseason, has not been with the team. I presume he's probably been around meetings and in the meeting rooms and such, but the Ravens deemed that there were no close contacts with Biggie Marshall, so he ultimately goes on that coronavirus list. He'll have to miss the 10 days mandatory in order to probably go back in the facility, but there were no close contacts, which is big because, as we saw with, for example, the Raiders, who had their starting linebacker and Corey Littleton placed on the list yesterday as well, even if there were close contacts and they were placed on the list today, there's a 5-day window, and that would not get them on the field in time for the game on Sunday night against the Patriots. So if the Ravens had their whole close contact thing happen yesterday, that would have been disaster because those players all would have had to miss the New England Patriots game. So hopefully Biggie Marshall, I hope he gets healthy and I hope he is doing well right now. Still super, super unfortunate that one, he tore up his knee in the offseason, and two, he ended up having that positive coronavirus test. But at the end of the day, there is the risk of getting the test and getting positive coronavirus tests throughout the year, and we've seen it so far throughout the entire NFL. But next, let's move into Thursday's injury report for the Baltimore Ravens. There were four people who did not participate in practice and two who were limited for the Ravens. Calais Campbell, Mark Ingram, Jimmy Smith, and Brandon Williams all did not participate. Brandon Williams, that's a non-injury related absence, so he is fully expected to go on Sunday, just a veteran day for him. Jimmy Smith and Mark Ingram did not practice because of ankle injuries, and Calais Campbell, who will not play on Sunday, missed practice with his calf injury. Now, something that's really telling about the Calais Campbell situation for Baltimore is they have the option to place him on injured reserve. He'd miss a minimum of 3 weeks, and that would render him out for this upcoming game against the Patriots, for the Tennessee Titans game, and for Thanksgiving against the Pittsburgh Steelers at the very minimum. Now, personally, I think that's the safe route to go. That would be the decision I would make if I was the coaches. I would say, look, we want to make sure you're 100% healthy for the playoffs because Calais Campbell is a really, really big part of what Baltimore does on defense, and there's no doubt he's going to be missed for this tough stretch of games that's coming up for the Ravens. But the fact that they haven't done it yet, the fact that Baltimore has not put Calais Campbell on injured reserve, there might be a chance he suits up for Thanksgiving. This might be a little bit less of a severe sprain than we saw Mark Ingram have. I think they classified Mark Ingram's calf sprain as a mild one. They haven't really gone into detail on Campbell's injury. They've kept it very mum, but there's no way Campbell plays on Sunday in my mind. Honestly, I don't see him playing next week against Tennessee either. The very earliest I see him back is against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Thanksgiving, which would be a great game to have him back for, but I think I just play it safe because I'd rather have Calais Campbell for a game in January or all the games in January, as opposed to maybe two or three in the regular season by rushing him back, and then he gets injured again and he's done, and you don't have him in January where that's where it matters. So that's my two cents on Calais Campbell and Mark Ingram and Jimmy Smith. Jimmy Smith, I think this was just a veteran day for him, but his ankle has been bothering him. And Mark Ingram is interesting. He did not practice on Thursday after practicing in a limited capacity on Wednesday. But Gus Edwards in his press conference yesterday said that Ingram's going to be back out there on Sunday. So I'd assume that, you know, I'll trust Gus Edwards here, and I'll say that Mark Ingram probably will be back for that game on Sunday against the New England Patriots. And then two guys who practiced in a limited capacity for Baltimore, LJ Fort with his finger injury and Matthew Judon with a calf injury. I expect both those guys to play. Baltimore has Marlon Humphrey back. I expect Tremont Williams to get big snaps on Sunday night. This defense is out for blood. They're out for the ball, actually. I'll say they're out for the ball because it's going to be so huge for the Ravens defense to force turnovers on Sunday, get Cam Newton uncomfortable, and we'll talk about all that in the third segment, but it's really, really important for them. Finally, I want to do a brief dive into this whole Lamar Jackson controversy, Lamar Jackson slander that's been going on really ever since the beginning of his career. The most recent slander we've been getting about Lamar Jackson is that Kyler Murray is better than Lamar Jackson. And look, I want to preface this by saying, one, in my personal opinion, I believe Lamar Jackson is better than Kyler Murray. Two, I believe both players are great and phenomenal quarterbacks that are going to take their teams far when it's all said and done. But pitting these two guys up against each other, pitting these two quarterbacks, these two young generational talent quarterbacks up against each other, I just don't think it's fair. You can compare what Kyler Murray is doing to Lamar Jackson. I understand that in 2020 for Kyler Murray, his first half of the season was better than Lamar Jackson's first half during the 2019 season, his MVP campaign. But again, Lamar Jackson turned it up in the second half of his MVP campaign. He didn't do very well in the first half of his MVP campaign. It was really the second half of that season where he pulled away with that award. It was really between him, Russell Wilson, Mahomes was in there too. It was Lamar Jackson's second half. But again, Why does Lamar Jackson get so much slander? Really, a funny part of all this is Kyler Murray is running more than Lamar Jackson. He's run more than Lamar Jackson this season in most statistical categories, and he ran more than Lamar Jackson did in his first half of the 2019 season. So why is Kyler Murray getting praised for it, whereas Lamar Jackson is getting slandered for it? And I think the simple answer is people just do not believe Lamar Jackson is an NFL quarterback, and it's ridiculous. Lamar Jackson is 25-5 as a starter in his first 30 games throughout his career. You can make the argument for he hasn't been clutch in the playoffs. You can make the argument that he can't play from behind, and this, that, and the other. There are statistics to show those things, and people gobble those up. But when Lamar Jackson throws for 36 touchdowns, and when Lamar Jackson scores 43 total touchdowns in an MVP campaign, when Lamar Jackson leads a struggling offense to a 6-2 record through the first 8 games of the 2020 season, if someone is 6-2 in the NFL, there should be no slander. No slander allowed on that player or that team, right? We see it all the time. Pittsburgh right now is 8-0, and Pittsburgh, honestly, in my opinion, has played worse than Baltimore has. But I'm not out here slandering the Steelers and saying they're an awful football team and that their quarterback is old and has a broken-down body. That's not the case. Ben Roethlisberger is proving time and time again that he can bring that Steelers team back. He can hold leads in close games. What's Lamar Jackson showing? Lamar Jackson is showing he has the winning gene in his DNA. He can come from behind if you need him to. We saw it against the Indianapolis Colts. He has a defense that keeps him in games. Yes, so what? That's part of the team's strength, and so far the team is 6-2. And I believe Lamar Jackson can come from behind. I think that is an overblown stat. And it's frustrating, but at the same time, honestly, and I think everybody has to understand that this slander for Lamar Jackson will not go away anytime soon. There will always be haters for Lamar Jackson. He is not respected as a passer, and that is honestly, it's terrible because he is a good passer. But regardless, I am going to stick up for Lamar Jackson whenever I can, because it is just, it's blasphemous that he is getting all of this hate when he has done so much to start off his NFL career. I take Lamar Jackson over most quarterbacks right now. He has struggled in 2020. There has been a little bit of a drop-off in his play. I will not deny that fact. But at the end of the day, Lamar Jackson is a quarterback, and he is a dang good one at that. We're going to head into our first break now, and when we get back, we'll be talking about the Ravens and Patriots game on Sunday night, talking about the Ravens offense versus the Patriots defense, so stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi is made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Pepsi, made for football watching. We are back with our second segment of this Locked On Ravens Purple Friday episode. Kevin Ostreicher, your host, still hanging out with you here. And we just talked about a plethora of things in that first segment, kind of a news, notes, and quotes segment, to be honest. But now let's get into our preview of this Sunday night marquee matchup between the Baltimore Ravens and the New England Patriots. And let's start off with this Baltimore offense going up against this Patriots defense. And I actually want to start off with the Patriots defense, because in 2019, this was a unit that was absolutely feared throughout the entire league. The Patriots defense ranked number one in points allowed, number one in team DVOA, and then number one in pass DVOA, and also had the number eight rush DVOA in 2019. So all of a sudden, this Patriots defense that was pretty good for the last couple of years leading up to 2019 suddenly became absolutely historic. And what did Baltimore do in 2019 against the New England Patriots? Well, they absolutely blew them out. 37-20, led by a very nice first quarter, a not so great second quarter, and then a tied up third quarter. They each scored 7 points in the fourth quarter, where Baltimore scored 13 points to New England 0. Now, if this game hadn't had the second quarter that it did, if Cyrus Jones didn't fumble, if Mark Ingram didn't fumble, this might look like a totally different game, where Baltimore maybe puts up 40 points and New England maybe puts up 10.
But again, it's the way the ball bounces, and teams have to come up with ways to win, even if there are a few turnovers here and there. And Baltimore showed that on Sunday against Indianapolis. They showed that in 2019 against the historic Patriots defense. Now, looking at the box score, Lamar Jackson went 17 of 23 for 163 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions. Marquise Brown had 3 for 48, Mark Ingram 2 for 29. Nick Boyle actually led the team in receptions with 5 for 27 and a touchdown, then a bunch of others who had 2 or 1 reception. Now, the difference in this game is the Patriots look like a very different team on both sides of the ball. We'll talk about the defense first. On both sides of the ball, but again, let's talk on the defense. Dont'a Hightower is not on the team right now. He opted out of the 2020 season. He led the team with 13 tackles with a tackle for loss. He's a great elite linebacker. I'd love to have him in Baltimore, but he's a good player. Kyle Van Noy is now in Miami. Danny Shelton is now in Detroit, I believe. Jamie Collins Sr., the same thing. Lawrence Guy is questionable for this game. Alandon Roberts is a guy who was a great special teams guy and also a good linebacker on defense. He is now in Miami. Patrick Chung, who opted out. Daron Harmon's actually one of the best safeties in the NFL right now, so good for him. Justin Bethel is a guy who is no longer on the Patriots, and the Ravens faithful know him well. There are a lot of guys, and the big one is Stephon Gilmore. If he doesn't play on Sunday night, oh man. Oh man. This defense for the Patriots has not looked great this season. I talked about all those 2019 historic stats in terms of points allowed, team DVOA, and that. Well, in 2020, the Patriots defense has taken a free fall. In 2020, they are the number 12 team in points allowed, second to last in team DVOA on defense, 30th in pass DVOA, and 31st in rush DVOA. That is not what you want to see from a defense, especially because this defense was so good in 2019. It was amazing, honestly. And the fact that Baltimore was able to put up 37 points on that defense makes it all the more important to just understand how great that season was. But even if you look at third down defense, for example, the Patriots led the NFL in 2019 in third down defense. Opponents only converted on 25.6% of their third downs. In 2020, that number is now 15th at 41.5%. Now, there's still some good things about this New England defense. They've forced 14 turnovers and they're 13th in red zone defense, but compared to 2019 and what Baltimore was able to do in 2019 against this Patriots defense, they put up 37 points on a historic New England defense. Now you look at 2020, the defense is not where it was. We had Mike DeBate on here yesterday from Locked On Patriots, and he said that the Patriots struggle to contain the middle of the field, and they struggle to stop the run as well. Now it's going to be interesting to see just how these defenses match up against the opposing offenses, but in terms of the Patriots defense, you know, they are not up to par from their 2019 season. Now, on the flip side of that, the Ravens offense is not up to par from their 2019 season. Baltimore broke about every rushing category there was in 2019, and they were just such a historic offense. There was supposed to be a statistical drop-off, and what have we seen? A statistical drop-off. That's what was expected. People are taking it as the Ravens are a horrible offensive team now. Well, they're not. A stat that keeps coming up is the Ravens have scored less than 24 points once in a game this season. That's a really nice stat to have if you're an offense, especially when you have such a dominant defense backing you right now, where we saw Baltimore didn't need to go and absolutely dominate the Colts on offense and score 40 points because the defense held the Colts to 10. The defense forces takeaways. The defense helps the offense. Again, this football is a game that goes hand in hand. Every phase goes hand in hand with each other. So when you look at Baltimore, and again, I don't want to compare 2019 to 2020 too much because, again, it's a different season. It's a whole new season. And I don't think that it's fair to necessarily say, okay, well, it's tough because the Ravens right now, they're down a bit on offense. The play calling isn't where it needs to be. The execution isn't where it needs to be. The offensive line, I think, is the key culprit in the offense's struggles so far. But if the offensive line can just play a tiny bit better against this Patriots front, the Patriots defense right now, they don't get a ton of sacks. the defense is a little weaker than you would probably like it to be. I mean, again, Stephon Gilmore is great. J.C. Jackson, another great player for them. Chase Winovich, another great guy. Adrian Phillips, the safety, leads them in tackles with 56, followed by Juwan Bentley, the linebacker, with 45. I mean, they have a nice secondary, but their front seven is where I see the struggles, and they have not been able to contain a lot of offenses. I mean, we saw Joe Flacco run rampant on this defense against the New England Patriots on Monday night. So we'll see what ends up happening. But in order to win this game, I do think the Ravens have to establish the run game. They cannot be forced into a one-dimensional offense. They cannot be forced to turn into that one-dimensional offense, I should say. There's a whole discrepancy about how Baltimore has been on first down. They are one of the worst first down teams in the entire NFL. If they get themselves into second and sevens, third and sevens, I would much rather have them third and ones, third and twos, third and threes. It makes things a lot more difficult if you put yourself in those bad situations, those long situations on second and third downs. If you can go out there and get 6 yards on first down, even 5 yards on first down instead of a three, that makes all the difference, because suddenly it would turn a third and four into a third and two. It'd turn a third and five into a third and three if you gain yards on the next play. It's really difficult to sustain offensive drives when you're getting shut out constantly on first down. I expect Baltimore to attack the middle of the field. I also would expect a deep shot or two. I don't know what the Ravens are saving these deep shots for, whether it's Tennessee or Pittsburgh or a game where it maybe means a bit more. This is in prime time. This is on Sunday night. This game should mean a lot to the Ravens. Every game should mean a lot to the Ravens. Just because Baltimore blows out this Patriots team 37-20 in 2019, they suffer substantial losses on both sides of the ball, doesn't mean they cannot take the Patriots lightly. We saw the Jets again go in to MetLife Stadium and almost ruin the Patriots Monday, because I don't think the Patriots took them as seriously as they probably should have. So overall, this Baltimore offense is in a good position if they can establish the run early. They can take advantage of that with maybe stacked boxes New England shows them, with good play-action concepts. And if you run good plays in the middle of the field, it will open up the outside and then vice versa. Maybe we'll see some Dez Bryant here. I expect a big game from Nick Boyle. He's been really the unsung hero of this Ravens offense, in my opinion, both running and receiving. And I think we're going to see a little bit of the committee approach come back to Baltimore if Mark Ingram plays, but not necessarily like we saw it in the first few weeks, where it was one guy getting a huge amount of carries, then kind of a guy second and third towards the bottom of the stat sheet, not a ton of carries. I think we'll see a pretty even distribution of carries like we've seen in the last few weeks. I don't think that changes with Mark Ingram back in the fold. But again, Baltimore's offense, I think, is in a very good spot. They just need to execute well and don't have any bad mistakes, or limit those bad mistakes. We're going to head into our final break here, and when we get back, we'll be talking about the Ravens defense going up against the Patriots offense. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. We are back with our final segment of this Locked On Ravens Purple Friday Edition episode. Kevin Oshuk, your host, still talking with you here. And now let's get into this Ravens defense going up against Cam Newton and the Patriots offense. And I want to start again with the Patriots offense and talk about the loss that they have incurred going into this game. Tom Brady, obviously the biggest one. He went 30-46 for 285 yards, a touchdown, and an interception in this football game. They still have mostly the same running back crew: James White, Rex Burkhead, Sony Michel. They added Damian Harris in there, the rookie from Alabama. But the wide receivers are where it's a lot different from what has been going on in recent years with the New England Patriots. I mean, Julian Edelman has been a thorn in Baltimore's side for as long as anyone can remember. He had 10 receptions for 89 yards. Mohamed Sanu is no longer a member of the Patriots either. He had 10 receptions for 81 yards and a score. Ben Watson no longer there, 4 for 28. Philip Dorsett no longer there, 2 for 13. The Patriots are going to be relying on the likes of Damir Bird, Jacoby Myers, Tom Izzo at the tight end position, N'Keal Harry potentially, and a few others, as Mike kind of pointed out on our show yesterday. But I think with Baltimore's star power on defense, how well they've performed this season, this is going to be a game where the Ravens have to stop the Patriots' runners and make New England a one-dimensional offense. You talk about Cam Newton, 1,417 yards, 2 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. He's looked good in spots in games, and he has not looked good in others. It's been an up-and-down season for Cam Newton and the New England Patriots. maybe the COVID thing did have something to do with his downfall a bit. He looked great in the first couple weeks, first 2-3 weeks, and then ultimately it just went downhill from there. He's looked better over the last couple weeks, but still, with just how well this Ravens defense is playing, I would like the Ravens, in order to kind of make a blueprint to win the game on defense, stop Damian Harris, stop Rex Burkhead, stop James White, even stop Cam Newton on the ground. Damian Harris is averaging 5.6 yards per carry, 63 attempts for 350 yards. Cam Newton, 4.6, 69 attempts for 314 yards. Rex Burkhead, 4.1, 57 for 236. So if the Ravens can stop that run attack for the Patriots, and they've done a great job, they're one of the best run defense teams in the NFL, it forces Cam Newton to throw the football into an amazing Ravens secondary that has Marlon Humphrey back. It now boasts Tremont Williams, who can play both slot and the outside. I mean, this is a dream matchup if the Ravens can stop the run, because it forces the Patriots to become a one-dimensional offense. That's the biggest part of all of this. If you can take away a whole aspect of an offense, it makes it so much easier for a defense because, oh, look, you know what's coming. And where have we heard that before this week? So it makes it easier for a defense to really go out there and play ball. You can either stack a box, sell out, stop the run. You can take guys out of the box, rush 4 or 5. And we know Baltimore is not going to completely take people out of the box. They're going to send people up to the line. They're going to try to confuse Cam Newton, send blitzes. Cam Newton has actually played pretty well against the blitz over the last few weeks. So I would maybe caution Baltimore to be a bit careful with them. But again, we saw the Ravens go up against two top 10 extremely quick-hitting offenses in the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Indianapolis Colts over the last 2 weeks. I think now that they're kind of getting more into, all right, Cam Newton holds the ball for a little bit, they can send more blitzes. They can use Yannick Ngakoue's one-on-one ability. They can use stunts and different things. Now, not having Calais Campbell in this game will hurt. I mean, any game Calais Campbell does not play in, there is an obvious drop-off. But I do trust Justin Madubuike. I do trust Justin Ellis. Now, Ellis is somebody who is a little bit of a deceptive guy because you look at him, he's a huge, massive guy, and he goes in there primarily to eat up space, stop the run, but he can create a push into the backfield on pass plays. Now, ideally, you wouldn't have him in there because Baltimore does have so much versatility in terms of guys who can switch inside. Jihad Ward's probably going to get some playing time after being inactive over these past 2 weeks and complaining on Twitter about it last week, but you also have guys like Pernell McPhee and Jalen Ferguson, all guys who can flip inside. We've seen Malik Harrison and LJ Fort play outside linebacker snaps. I mean, all these different guys do so many different things for this defense, and I think that's where it starts with how confusing it can be to opposing offenses, because you don't know where guys are going to be on the field half the time, that you don't know if you're going to have Chris Board lining up at safety or this, that, and the other. It's tough. So Cam Newton, I don't think he is where he was during his MVP seasons, during the prime of his career, but he's still somebody who you can't take lightly. We will probably see some running concepts from this team, RPOs, this, that, and the other. Baltimore will have to be disciplined, and I mean, they're going up against it in practice every day in Lamar Jackson, so hopefully they will be prepared for it. I'd expect some dink and duck stuff. The Patriots will probably work over the middle of the field to an extent, but this should be a game that the Baltimore Ravens come out and win. I'll put a final score prediction on it, and I'll say Baltimore wins this one 33-17 Ravens. I think that's going to be the final score here. This Ravens defense will be really, really stout, and I think the offense will kind of erase some of those struggles they've had over recent weeks, which I think will be a really big turning point in the season going into games against the Titans and the Steelers. So 33-17 is my final score for this one. I think it'll be a good one, though, regardless. That's all I have for you today. When we get back on Monday, we'll be talking about everything that happened in the Ravens and Patriots game. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you on Monday.